Have you ever been like not made a team like you tried out for?
I
don't know why you have to wait that long to answer. Yeah. I could name half a dozen.
I've actually made all the teams that I've ever tried out for.
Did you actually play though?
Yes, I did. I do have one story though. Yeah. Of I had made the team, but this was baseball. This was probably like upper middle school going into high school age. So not like crazy competitive, but competitive enough. And so I basically had moved to a different league. And in the previous league I was in, I was definitely on the top echelon, if you will. So I go to this other league, and I am definitely not on the top echelon. So I made the team, and I was playing, but didn't have the position I wanted, and felt really rejected. I was the youngest guy on the team, and it's actually a story that I go back to. I remember one of my friends on the team challenged me. He's like, "Listen, you know, Bobby, I've been there." He's like, "I know what it's like, da 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 da." He's like, "But if you finish, you know, you still get the coat, you still get the trophy, whatever, right?" And I ended up quitting. I was like halfway. It's the one time I quit out of rejection. So yes, I made the team, but I was rejected once making the team, and you know, threw my own little tantrum. And so I look back on that as a missed opportunity. I missed whatever they got, you know, some kind of nice jacket at the end of the season.
Oh, man.
I still think about that to this day. That was probably 20 years ago.
It happens to all of us.
Yes, it does. It does. Now, we don't have enough time. No, I'm just kidding.
I've got a lot of stories, and I need a lot of therapy.
Buy the book, and you'll hear all of the... I'm kidding.
Let's start this thing.
Yeah, let's do it. So we have officially started the Unfair Advantage, you know, season two of the podcast here. And man, episode one was a lot of fun. But today we're going to be diving into all things rejection, and we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph, mm-hmm. Which is in the book, but we're going to also take some other stuff. We're going to be looking at our own lives. Here's the thing is, people in general deal with rejection. If you've never dealt with rejection, then just keep living, because eventually you will deal with rejection.
It happens to all of us. It happens at different seasons in our life. And I want to talk to leaders today that feel like you just constantly get rejected. There's dreams in your heart and they're not happening. And that's the story of Joseph. He has a dream that God gives him. And the first thing that he comes up against is rejection. And that's what happens to all of us, whether it's somebody tells you no, your boss tells you no, your spouse says no, your friends say no. There's rejection that happens to all of us. So how do we deal with it? I said in week one, listen, God either solves our problems or spins them. So I'm going to show you how he spins rejection and uses it to redirect our life for a greater purpose. And so I'll give you a real small, crazy chain of events that happened in my life. So I got really saved, transformed when I was 16 years old, called into ministry. I felt like God was going to use my life to do something big, but I was like the worst kid in the school, worst kid in my youth group. Anyway, I get called into ministry. I go my 11th grade year. So that happens the summer after my 10th grade year. My 11th grade year, I started a Bible study at on my campus. Start witnessing to my friends, start a Bible study at my house. Life is starting to go well. And then a month before my 11th grade year ends, the principal of our school expels me.
No
and he expels
way.
Me on the stupidest thing. Should have never gotten expelled for. I had just been voted in as the senior class president for our class. And so
It was a small school.
It really was. But I get voted in senior class president. There's I get expelled. It's like the worst thing. I go from being a super like influential, popular kid in the class, winning people for Christ, to sitting by myself in a lunchroom with nobody around me in a school, a public high school, which was a crazy public high school, a Gulf Breeze High.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Dolphins. I knew nobody.
Yeah.
And I was at the low of my life. And I go, God, there's no way God's going to use this for his good. All right, now here's the crazy chain of events. I go through that last month of school and I hate it. I go back to my mom, I'm crying. I'm going, I cannot do this my senior year. I'm just going to keep doing my Bible study through my youth group, and I'm going to do dual enrollment. Dual enrollment's where you could do high school and college at the same time. So I went full-time dual enrollment. did my last year, built this Bible study. It was amazing. Had 80-something kids at the thing that was part of it. I was a leader in my youth group. And then I graduate, go off to college. I finished college in 3 years instead of 4 years. When I finished in 3 years instead of 4 years, on the day of my graduation, I get a call to go be a missionary full-time overseas in Sri Lanka. The tsunami had just happened there. So it's a total God opportunity. Again, I would have never been able to go if I didn't graduate in 3 years instead of 4 years.
Wow.
Would have never graduated early if I hadn't been expelled. Then I'm a missionary for those years. I start a thrift store. Because of the thrift store, I'm funding the missions work that we're doing. I become a youth pastor. Because of that, God calls me. I move to Tampa.
Wow.
The only way to move to Tampa is I have to sell a thrift store that I started because I was a missionary, because I started because I graduated in 3 years, because of the being expelled.
Wow.
All of it started with rejection.
Absolutely.
So I say all that to say, and that's a lot of information to say, rejection can be your best friend.
Yes.
If you live with an outlook of how can God use this for a greater purpose.
And I love that. Thank you for sharing some of the story, because I think, again, some people see someone like you, lead pastor of a fast-growing large church, great family, the whole deal. Like, it's taken a process to get there with a lot of rejection.
With a lot of pain, yes.
And that's really actually what I want to hit on, because in the book, you make some statements in this particular chapter. Again, this is content for leaders, so it's still read the book. There's going to be a lot more detail there. But you mentioned
But even
that,
if you don't read it, just buy it.
Yeah.
You know what?
We've all bought books that we don't read, right?
We do. We'll talk about that in another passage. Yeah. But you know what I tell people? I'm like, if you buy the book, it helps me.
Yes.
If you read the book, it'll help you.
That's really good. That should be your slogan on the back. You know,
I stole that from John Maxwell, by the way. But it's a good one.
I love that. So you make a statement. You say rejection. Obviously, you're going to experience pain, but that pain is for a purpose. You just described how that applied to your own life.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're a leader listening, you're like, man, there might be some real immediate rejection, whether it's a promotion, maybe business isn't so good, people are quitting. You fill in the blank of all the different types of rejection that you can be feeling. There might actually be rejection from your childhood that's actually traumatic that maybe you haven't gotten over, but that pain is for a purpose. And I think that's the big idea of this particular part of the story and even your story.
Yes. So when rejection happens to you, the first question you need to ask yourself is, how is God using this to redirect me to something greater?
Yeah.
So the guy rejects you when y'all you thought there was a future. What do? You pause and you ask yourself and you ask the Lord, how are you using this for a greater purpose? Rejection is for our good if God can use it to redirect us to something better.
Mm.
And he does. He brings us, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory. So in Joseph's life, he's rejected by his brothers. That's a crazy idea that the people closest to you don't believe in you. But God used it to bring him to the ultimate purpose in his life. I was rejected in a place where I was doing good. Like, I was doing ministry. I was being an evangelist and a disciple maker on my high school campus.
Wow.
And God used the rejection of my principal towards me. That was a crazy scenario. And it led me to where I'm literally sitting right now.
Wow.
I'm telling you, every closed door as a follower of Jesus, at every closed door is an opportunity for you to find a better open door.
That's
if true. You'll learn how to leverage rejection by saying, God, what is it that you're leading me to that's better? And that means you have to work on your theology a little bit, because your theology can't be a theology of pain, and it's always going to be terrible, and it's just going to stink for the rest of my life, and hopefully when I get to heaven, it'll be better. No, I think God's got something better for you now.
That's good.
But you got to learn how to leverage rejection. We talked about it in episode one, but we were rejected by the school. So when we were rejected by the school, I said, okay, God, where are you redirecting us? Now, where he redirected us looked terrible, but it was for our good.
Yes.
There's always going to be rejection with that. I don't know if you ever lost a job. I've been fired a few times. It's always for my good.
Yeah.
So how you deal with it, and I think it all comes down to one word. One word can summarize up people that deal with rejection well or people that deal with rejection poorly. And it's one word, which is attitude.
That's good. Yes.
Attitude makes or breaks how well you deal with rejection. Because if your attitude is that of, it's going to be turned around for the good, he's going to lead me to a better place, your attitude will take you higher or your attitude will take you down. Mm-hmm. And that'll determine if the rejection you're going through, because we all know people that have been rejected, but their life ended up horrible because of it, because they didn't have the right attitude.
Absolutely. You know, attitude is huge. It's it reminds me of the idea of the cup half full versus half empty.
Yep.
You know, we actually, we have a dream teamer here at Radiant. Shout out to John Rufinock. He's mm-hmm. been on the team for years and years. Probably one of the smartest guys I know. He challenged me one day. He's like, you know, everyone's always asking, like, is it in terms of attitude, especially, because he's probably, his personality isn't really change oriented at Radiant. We do yep. change a little. And so we were talking one day and he's like, you know, everyone asks, like, is the glass half full or is it half empty? And he's like, I just decided to ask, do we have the right glass? And I was like,
I love that.
I've never thought about that, but that was awesome. And it does mean a lot. Like the attitude of how we approach disappointment, rejection, all of the things that you just described, the attitude is huge. And what I've realized is with a bad attitude, which I'd love for you to expound on this yep. a little, is, and most often in my own experiences, as well as working with other people, a bad attitude lends itself to being very tempted and even going into bitterness.
Yes.
And so the idea, you said it briefly in episode one, but I'd love for you to expound on the idea, the mindset rather, of not to get bitter, but to get better.
Yeah. The way you handle rejection is always going to lead you to one of two things. You're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. And I've seen leaders do both. I have seen, we'll do opportunities for people to preach at the church.
Yeah.
And there are times where people get overlooked for that mm-hmm. opportunity, or there are times that someone's, you know, we promote someone, there's two people that are in a running for something, and one person gets promoted and one person doesn't. So one person deals with rejection. I'm always looking at how are they going to deal with the rejection?
Yeah.
And are they going to use it to get bitter? And I've seen that happen, where then they start getting around their friends and going, nobody sees me, nobody acknowledges me. They start gossiping, they get a little hardness in their heart. They get, it's a little bit of entitlement, it's a little bit of a victim mentality. And I'm telling you, it starts crippling their potential. I've also seen people pull me aside and say, hey, Pastor Aaron, I noticed that you picked this person instead of me for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I would like to know how to get better so that next time you will pick me. Now that's the right question.
That's great.
Now that's the right approach. Now it's going, I've gotten rejected, but I want to use it to redirect me to something better. Because you can sulk or you can soar, but you can't do both.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just sulk in their pain and their disappointment and their bitterness. But you could soar if you'll use it to say, okay, with this terrible situation, terrible rejection, I'm going to soar and I'm going to get better. I think it's, I see it with people, pastors. I know a lot of my friends are pastors listening to this.
Yeah.
And people leave their church and they sulk. And I get it, because mm-hmm. we love people and we don't yeah. want people to leave our church. But I tell them, like, great, great churches learn how to soar, not soar as in like you get sore. I'm talking yeah. about soar as in like fly high after somebody leaves. Because yeah. after somebody leaves, you should be able to go, I got rejected. Now, how do I use that to get better? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the right attitude.
So, and let's make this really practical, because yep. I think the mindset, the concept of how do we redirect rejection and how do we make sure that we're getting better and not bitter. But let's make it really practical. Like, what are some things that you've done, even people that you talk to, the questions you ask yourself in the moment of, because we all know, like, and we might all respond differently, by the way. It might be in anger. It might be in isolation. It might be in doubt. But there's usually some type of symptom attached to the feeling of rejection.
Yes.
And so when you know, and we know ourselves, so you know when you go to a dark place after rejection, how do you get out of that? What do you do practically?
Yeah, well, I think practically for me, I've been rejected so many times from so many different scenarios. And I've had to learn to either to suck it up and go, I'm going to ask the question that's going to hurt my ego, but help my legacy.
Yeah.
So it's going to really hurt good. My ego, but it's going to help my purpose and my legacy. And this is where it is. So I'll tell you what a big one. People don't know this one, but I went to, when we were going to plant the church, we went to a training at ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches. And I went to a training there and to teach us, and we wanted them to take us on as church planters. Well, they did a marriage assessment, they did a financial assessment, and then at that time, they did a sermon assessment where they would evaluate how you can preach.
Wow.
So we passed the marriage... it was like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So we passed the marriage assessment, we passed the financial assessment, and then I had to go give a sermon assessment, and the sermon assessment basically was sharing your faith with someone to where you could, you know, win someone over for Christ. And I massively bombed it.
No
massively
way.
Bombed wow. it. In front of a group of probably 20 people. I mean, I'm sweating. I'm fumbling over my words. I massively bombed it.
Hmm.
And I remember walking out of that room going, they're not going to approve me as a church planner.
Wow.
And so the guy in charge of it thought, when I got finished with this, he goes, there's no way we can take that couple on because that guy can't communicate.
Hmm.
True story. So I had this thing and I wrestled the rest of the day. And then we had sessions all day long knowing I had fumbled that thing. And I wrestled the whole rest of the day. And I go to my hotel room that night and I sat there. I couldn't even sleep. And I thought, this is a scenario. I'm either going to get bitter and I'm going to succumb to the disappointment of what I did, or I'm going to learn how to leverage this for a greater purpose.
Wow.
The next morning I woke up and I text that guy. And I said, hey, can I meet with you early? And I pulled him aside. I said, I've been up all night long thinking about this. I want another shot. And I want another shot in front of that room. And he said, yeah. He pulled the room together, same group of people. Said, Aaron said he messed up yesterday. He wants to try again today. And I got there and it was a home run because I'd worked on it all night long.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, and I passed.
Yeah.
And I passed because I used rejection to go, am I going to get better or am I going to get bitter? I could have said, they didn't warn me. They didn't do this.
Yeah.
I could have taken the victim approach. No, I'm going to soar in this thing. So my challenge for you is, if you're rejected, do your part to try to figure out, is there something you can do to get better? And if you'll own your mistakes, then go, okay, now that I've owned my mistakes, maybe there's some way that God's redirected me to make this better. Now, when you talk to the head of ARC, you know what Aaron's known for? Aaron's the gritty guy that won't take no. Aaron's the guy
yeah.
who, when he messed up the first time, he went back. Now I have an unbelievable reputation. Why? Because actually I used my rejection for a greater purpose.
Yes.
So you've got to understand this is part of your life.
Mm.
So the person says no, find someone that says yes. Make sure you know why they say no. If you're dating right now, I'm telling you, I want to talk to all the single people out there. Every person that says no to you should be a learning lesson on either. Now, it could be they just don't like you, but it could also be the fact that you've got some kind of quirk that needs to be worked out and you're awkward.
Yeah.
And that rejection will actually help and refine you to make it better so that then you can find even a better person.
Yeah. I love that. And just to kind of break that down a little, what I hear is that you didn't make any excuses. Hey,
no excuses.
They didn't warn me. Like, so you got to take ownership, which is one of our staff values.
It is.
Especially when dealing with rejection. And then the idea of blind spots. Like, I feel like that's a part of our culture. If it's not a part of yours, whether you're leading a church or a business or even just in whatever group you're a part of, the idea of asking for blind spots is big. Because a lot of rejection lends itself because we have blind spots that we're unaware of. And so I want to shift gears just really quickly.
Well, I want to talk, just let me hit on the blind spot thing because I think it's very important.
Yeah.
Because you do a great job at this. You're constantly asking, you know, what are the blind spots that you see that I don't see? And a blind spot is that area of your life that most people know about you, but nobody's telling you. And you might not know about you.
Yeah.
So we've all got them in our lives. So the only way to get better, you're getting rejected from opportunities right now that you don't even know you could walk into, but you're getting rejected because there's things that you're doing that if you knew you were doing, you'd change it.
Yeah.
But people are not going to come up and tell you your issues. And if they do, they've got issues.
Yeah.
You've got to have a safe place and a safe group that you can honestly go, hey, what are those things that I'm doing that are keeping me from my potential and from my breakthrough and from my destiny. And the more you ask, and by the way, don't just do this. Don't just ask what they are. Actually fix them.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal, because I'm tired of people coming to me going, what's that area of my life? What's that area? I'm like, I've already told you four areas and you didn't fix any of those.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give you another one. Figure out what those things are, because rejection is a way for you to get refined to walk into the real direction that God has for your life.
I love that. So, you know, find someone that you can trust, ask for blind spots. Just in light of leaders out there, you know, obviously a lot of this episode has geared towards how we respond to rejection, which, you know, go back and listen if you didn't catch all that. There was so much gold in how to deal with that. Talk in the last little part that we have here on being a leader who, this is weird to say, but hopefully it makes sense, the idea of we're in some ways, if, especially as your staff grows, as your team grows, there's going to be rejection that that you're going to be responsible for giving, not in a negative way, but in a, you could call it coaching, you could call it training and development, but there's going to be rejection felt by your team at some, if you lead people long enough, they are going to feel rejected.
Yep.
And so how do we lead well when giving correction and rejection?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to, especially if you're in an industry like we are, where we feel called to help people. Mm-hmm. If you want to help people, it's because you love people.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you want to do is disappoint people. But that is that refinement that's necessary. So my thing is you cannot be frustrated with a group of people that do not receive correction when you have not taught them how to receive correction. So don't ever say, like, oh, my people, they don't ever respond well, and they always get bitter instead of getting better. Teach them. Yeah. I teach these principles to my staff. Mm. I teach them, hey, if I'm ever rejected, I'm asking the question to my boss or my director, tell me what I could have done different.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that I'll have done that for years, and I've taught it for years, and yet still I'll have crucial staff members that'll get overlooked or demoted, and they won't ask the right question. Mm. But I still live by the principle that my pastor has taught me for years, that you can only walk into someone's life the amount they'll allow you.
That's really good.
So I can't go in and go, hey, you're not asking the right question. This rejection is going to lead you to a better, better life, a better direction that God has for you, but you got to ask the right question. You got to have the right attitude. I can't tell them that in the moment. I've got to coach that as part of our culture. We have a feedback culture, we have a correction culture, we have a blind spot culture, and we have a culture that when we're overlooked, we're going to ask the right question. Mm. And we're not going to walk in bitterness about it. Yes. Sometimes the answer is, it's just not the right time.
Yes.
I'll tell you this, though, in the young man and young, I'm thinking of two of them right now that I've dealt with just in the last month or so, that have both pulled me aside and been very frustrated that they felt overlooked for different opportunities. And both of them, I said, well, one, you're not asking the right question. So I've taught you for years to ask the right question. What could you have done different? And then the second thing is, I kind of like it. I kind of like you having a season where you feel like nobody recognizes me. It's going to be good for your story.
Yeah.
Everybody needs stories like I shared about me at ARC, who I'm a guy who had been in ministry that time for 6 or 7 years full time. I'd preached hundreds of times. And I didn't pass the preaching course.
Wow.
Everybody needs that. You need a season of your life where you're rejected by man, but accepted by God. And that's enough for you.
Amen.
And I want you to hear that. Because if you live by the praises of men, you will die by their criticisms.
That's so good.
So you can't live going, do they accept me? Do they accept me? Do they accept me? Because that will cripple your calling. Be satisfied with the fact that I might be rejected by men, but I'm accepted by God. And as long as I'm accepted by God and I have the right attitude and the right motives, I'll eventually be accepted by people and accepted into the calling that God has for me. But my goal is Him, not them.
That's
you
good.
Make them the goal, you'll be disappointed all the time. Make Him the goal.
That's good.
You'll win this thing.
I love that. Well, as we close, we talked about a lot. What would be the few takeaways as we close?
Have the right attitude during seasons of rejection. Rejection is for your good when God uses it to redirect you to something better. but you got to trust God. And by the way, part of that is trusting God's timing.
Amen.
And here's the thing. Learn from every disappointment. Every no that I get in my life gives me an opportunity to learn how to better refine my life so that I can become better in who God's called me to be. You can learn from rejection. It'll lead you to your destiny.
Amen. Well, we've enjoyed this episode. Thank you guys again for listening. And make sure and subscribe, make sure and share. And we look forward to being with you next week.